Glory, glory. Welcome, everybody. Praise the Lord. I hope you told somebody, praise the Lord. Jack, good to see you today, brother. Praise the King. Good to see everybody. Praise the Lord. Good to see all of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Everybody's hugging everybody and praising the King. I mean to tell you, if you hadn't learned to praise the King, boy, you need to learn, don't you, Frank? He's worthy to be praised. What a mighty God we serve. He's a God that answers prayer. He's a God that does great and wonderful things when we pray. Right, Theo? Amen. Praise that King. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yep, so, yeah, I won't elaborate on our trip yesterday much. I'll just tell you that we went to just about to Memphis. You know, it's about a 10-hour drive, I think, by car. But my granddaughter, she wanted to go up and spend a week with her other grandparents. So Dave and I put her in the Mooney yesterday, a little four-place airplane. And it normally flies about 165, something like that, which is not bad, you know. But, boy, there was times yesterday we had 210-mile-an-hour ground speeds. You know, that's really good. But, of course, coming back, you know, 130, 140. But I'm like Dave. I was praising the King. 130 is a whole lot faster than 60 or 50 on the road. You know, so that's how we was able to get up there and go up there. And plus, it was a lot nicer. And, of course, I thank God for those beautiful GPSs. You know, when with the weather on board, we could see all the way from the time we left here, which was a beautiful, clear day. It wasn't quite so beautiful and clear at Memphis. It was storming and hail and everything else, but I told Dave, before we get there, it's going to all be gone. Amen. Amen. You got to believe that. Well, all the hail, all the storms and everything were way over on the other side of Memphis time we got there. And when the controller released me, you know, he said he's going to lose me. We were descending. And as we got down close, he said, well, you know, I'm going to lose you. You go back to your other frequency and everything. So I said, okay. And so Dave lined me right up on the end of the runway, and we dropped right into them clouds, you know. And, of course, when you drop into the clouds, you can't see nothing but white, you know. And Dave lined me right up on that little runway out there. Now, before GPS, there was no instrument approaches at this little airport. It's kind of a little out-of-the-way airport, and the VORs and everything are so far away, you could have never found this little airport. But with the GPS, he brought me down through them clouds, I mean, and there it was, right there, you know. We landed right on the end of it. Praise God for all this new sophisticated equipment we got that you can see. You know, I mean, I'm just flying an airplane. Dave says you're half a dot right on localizer. You're half a dot, you're right on localizer. He said you're half a dot below the glide slope or half a dot above. And so I'm just flying that thing in. It's so beautiful to have all that. Of course, we landed up there. It just rained. And we let my granddaughter off. Her other grandparents pulled in just as we landed. I told them we'd try to be there around 12 or 12:30. Well, we were there 5 minutes till 12. And they pulled in just as we did, and she left with them, and then we got in that thing and flew back up through that stuff and come on home. You know, it was a nice flight. It did take 2 hours and 15 minutes from here to Memphis is not bad, you know it, in anybody's book. Even though it took 3 hours and 6 minutes coming back, that ain't bad either, you know. You can't, but anyway, we had a great day. Is there anybody that's got a testimony would like to tell us something or give us a little testimony before we got this young lady back here? She's got something she wants to say. We love to have people give testimonies in this church. We love to hear what God is doing. We love to see people give God the glory for what He's done. Praise the King.
That's why I love this church a lot. This testimony,
talk a little louder and hold it
I
up
believe
close.
This testimony has a lot to do with coming to this church and learning about the Word of God, but where I work at this agency that sends me to different homes. I have a contract with Fidelity Investment, and they send me to different homes. And, you know, I'm just really enjoying my work and doing God's work with the children, not even thinking that these people are really paying attention to how much I love these kids. Well, there's a new family I have next week, and I've never met this family. They don't even know me. And they told the agency, we've heard so much about her, we refuse to use anybody else from that agency. We want that girl.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We give Him all the glory. Anybody else got another testimony before we go on? You got a testimony? Just holding up your hand. He's just holding up his hand. Okay. Praise the Lord. Oh, we got one back here? Where? Oh, got one back there. Okay, that's a little, I didn't see that one. Praise the Lord, come up here and jump up on this platform so they can see you. Okay. Hold it up close.
Loose.
Yeah, don't put your hand over it now. Put your hand down there. Okay, now talk into it.
At Lowe's, a man dropped his pipe, and I picked it up for him, and he gave me $10.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. You're just making all kinds of money, aren't you? Okay. Praise the King. Is that your testimony? Okay. Go back there and sit down now. Praise the King. Glory to God. God's a good God. He's a good God. He loves the little children. I was just reading over there where he says, you know, let the little children come to me. Because he said, if you don't come to me as a little child, he said, you can't enter into the kingdom. You know, you need to start them out early when they're little like that so they can get up here and talk. I remember I was a grown man and already been to Vietnam back and got back and went back to school and graduated and teaching engineering at Braniff. And I didn't have a problem standing before 10 or 20 engineers teaching formulas and all that kind of stuff. And I was nominated as a deacon in my church. And, of course, once you become a deacon in a Baptist church, you know, at least the one I was in, you had to, every once in a while, you'd have to be deacon of the week. And so during deacon of the week, you had to stand up here and read, you know, the little things that was going to happen this week and then pray a prayer. And that first time I got on that platform, I'm glad I was behind the podium because my knees were knocking, shaking. So I thought, whoa, this is awful. But, you know, practice. You know, that's all it takes is practice. So now then, it don't make a difference. I'm talking to you, one or two or 10,000 or a million. Makes no difference. It's God now, and I know that, so I have no problem. But you got to train them. Start them out early. We got some things today. I was teaching in a series about how to be an overcomer, and I just barely got started in that last week. But we're going to put a break in that because God broke into me with my studies and some of the scriptures I was reading. And he just laid it on my heart that there's something that my people are not getting. And that's what real faith is. How to pray and how to believe me. He said, they don't believe. He said, they got it up here. That's mentally. Mentally, they have it. But spiritually, they don't have it. And all those that come to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So before we get into the study, I want you to know that you may have been here lots, but if you haven't, if this is your first time, this wall wasn't here last week. You know, but it's here today. So the Lord sent me Robert Moore's back there. He's sitting there back here on the back, that guy back there. He's about my age, and he's tough. And he sent me Lance. Lance come out one day and helped us, him and Patty. And, of course, she packed stuff, and he got out here and helped us. But we were able to build this wall and that little staircase and that little closet. And, of course, now we got a stairwell on the other side that goes up on the top of that. And we put all the flooring up on top of that. You can't see that, but it's up there. But this has got a second floor in it now. Of course, the floor is up there, and you can come up the stairs and get up on top of it. So we are slowly getting there. You know, but we done all that this week in our spare time, you know, when we wasn't reading the word or answering phone calls or all that kind of stuff. But we're going to continue on. Of course, there'll be another floor on top of that, too, and then that'll be sheetrocked all the way to the top. And eventually, you know, there'll be six bedrooms up there and bathrooms, six little places, and then there'll be a wall that goes all the way up to the top there. So, you know, we're going as fast as we can, you know, but if you weren't here, hadn't been here for a while, well, this wall wasn't here last Sunday, but it is today. So we are getting there. It was a lot of hard work, and I appreciate everybody that comes and helps me to do all these things. I thank all of y'all that provide the resources, the money, and everything it takes to build all this, because it does take money, but God sends that to us, and we praise him. You just need to pray and ask the Lord to bring more people to hear what we're going to teach about his word. But to start off with, I want you to think about the number of times, if you were like me. I mean, I was raised up in a Southern Baptist church. And, I mean, although I was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and a servant of the Lord. I mean, I worked diligently for God, but I never saw an answer to prayer. You know, if I did, I didn't know it. You know, I didn't know how to pray. If you'd asked me, well, do you pray? Well, once in a while, yeah, I do pray for something. Do I go to hospitals? Yeah. Do I pray for people while I'm there? Yeah. Do you ever see one of them get healed? Well, if I did, I didn't know it. You know, so, you know, I mean, but I prayed, Frank. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I went up there and did what I knew what to do, you know, but it didn't produce a whole lot of results. And so then I began to really seek the Lord to find out why. Well, you know, I mean, you hear people say, well, you know, sometimes it's God's will to answer yes sometimes and no sometimes, or maybe later or maybe sometime. But, you know, and I believed all those lies. You know, I never thought about saying, where's it written? If God only answered prayer sometimes, where is that written? I didn't know enough about the Word of God to even ask those kind of questions. And that's why I didn't see the king do very much. Well, today we're going to get into the scriptures, and we're going to start with Luke 11, verses 1 through 13, and we're going to talk about prayer and how what Jesus said about it. In Luke 11, 1 through 13, he said, once when Jesus had been out praying, one of his disciples came to him as he finished and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, I think that's pretty good advice even today, don't you? If you were like I was, you know, I didn't pray much. I mean, I prayed a little, but I didn't pray much. You know, I mean, I never spent lots of time praying until I began to really understand who God was. I mean, I knew He was God, but I didn't know about getting prayers answered and how to get things done and how to believe. And so that's why I didn't see much happen. But it says, one of His disciples came to Him. One of them, just one of them. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes it's amazing. It's like so few people come to hear the truth of God's Word. One of you. There'll be one that'll come and say, you know, I want to know God in a deeper way. Well, I was that one. So I went to the Lord, and I was Thurman. One of His disciples came to Him as He finished, said, Lord, teach me how to pray. Lord, I want to know how to make this work. You know, I mean, I think back in the days whenever I was in the physical world, I think whenever I started working at the Chevrolet house, whenever I remember the first time that I was back washing cars. That's all I mean, they even showed me how to wash cars. I washed cars and cleaned them up, got the new cars ready. One day I didn't have a whole lot to do, so the foreman came up and he said, hey, Thurman, come up here. I got to do a valve job on this head, on this little six-cylinder. I want you to pull a head off of it. I said, well, I don't know how to pull a head off of it. I ain't never pulled a head off of a car in my life. I said, well, you have to show me what to do. He said, no problem. Just come over here and raise the hood. He said, you see them two nuts right there? I said, you should take them off and then take that pan off the top. Okay. So I took the two nuts off and took that off and set it down. I said, what do I do next? He said, you see them six bolts right there? I said, yeah. He said, that'll remove the rocker arms. Take that off, set it in the pan, pull the push rods out, set it in there. And then he says, disconnect the hoses and a few little things, and then take all them big bolts out all the way around. Then he said, you can set the head off, set it on the bench, and I'll grind the valves. Okay. I had to be trained, didn't I? How do I take the head off that car? I didn't know how to take the head off of that car. I didn't know nothing. Well, I've come to realize today that everybody has to be trained how to do everything on this earth. You're not born knowing how to do anything. You got to be trained. A woman has to be trained how to bake a cake. I mean, you know, I mean, whenever my mother was fixing biscuits, you know, my mother used to make them cathead biscuits. You know, she'd get up more and pour a little this and a little that and a few this and this and that. She'd stir it all up and all rise up. She'd pinch off them things, throw them in the pan. And you think, Mom, how did you learn to do that? Oh, I've been doing that for 50 years, son. It's no problem. I learned to do that at home when I was a girl. My mother showed me how to do that. Well, now, why don't you cook them tomorrow? I don't know how to cook them. I mean, I can make biscuits. I can run down to the store and get that little can, split it open, pop, whoof, and I can throw them in and I can cook biscuits. But them ain't biscuits like my mama made. You know, them biscuits somebody else made. You know, I don't know how to make biscuits. Even to this day, I couldn't put all the stuff together without looking at a cookbook of how to put biscuits together. Well, some of you girls in here may be just as dumb in that area as I am, you know. Some of you girls may say, well, if I don't have the can to pop it, I can't make biscuits either, you know. But there's some of you may really know how to make biscuits. But anyway, somebody taught you. Well, One of Jesus' disciples came to him as he finished and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. So he said, this is how you should pray. First of all, you start out, Father, may your name be honored and may your kingdom come soon. I'll tell you what I want you to do on these, Dave. I want you to flip back to the King James. I want to do all these in the King James. Yeah, okay, just 1 second. Yeah. I want to read these in the King James. All these different Bibles we got, they're wonderful. And what I really like, while he's putting those together for me, if you go to our website and you go to the links, you can go to all those different types of Bibles. And, of course, the one in the middle is the blue letter Bible. If you click on the blue letter Bible, you can go in and you can do a word search or anything you want to. You find whatever you want to. And then if you've got a version you like to look at, I mean, you say you start out in the King James, and as you put it in the King James, and then over to the side where it's got the five little squares, it's got one of them, it's got a V on it. If you click on that, say you were at Luke 11:12, and you say, well, I wonder what that says in other translations. You click on the V, and it'll put about 20 different translations of that right there in a line right over that verse. You can read every translation that's made and see what every one of them says right there on the screen. Now, that's pretty nice, isn't it? Well, see, that's how you learn so much. You don't have to go and hunt them up in every Bible. You say, well, I wonder what any other version says about that verse. And you click on that V beside the left of any verse in the King James, and it'll give you at least probably 12 or 15 or 20 different translations or different versions of exactly how it's written. So it's just amazing what we can do with computers when you learn that. But anyway, as we go on down here, and it came to pass that Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now, you know, when you stop and think about that, I want you to look at that verse 2 a minute. He says, your kingdom come, and your will be done as it is in heaven, so in earth.
Amen. That's right.
So when we get a hold of these things, we have the capability to pray in faith and bring the kingdom right here on this earth.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
You know, when I tell you, Some of you know the many different answers to prayer I've seen in the last few years. You know a few of them, but no, only me and God know. In fact, only God knows all of them. You know, but I'll give you another example. Of the other day, Cheryl and I was going down to a graduation, and this time we were flying the big airplane because my nephew and all his family wanted to go riding, and so I was wanting the big one. It's only down to Temple. So we took off here that morning, beautiful, clear. About halfway down, I'm looking at my map, and it says Temple is IFR. I said, oh, Lord, I said, I don't hardly have time to file. I said, we're already late. We got off a little bit late. I don't have time to file IFR and all this nonsense. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to pray. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said I could ask for anything. John 14:13-14. Didn't he say that? If Jesus said in John 14:13-14, if here I've learned how to pray, you know, hallowed be your name, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done as in heaven, so in earth, and the kingdom of God, according to Luke 17:21, is in you and me. This is where the kingdom's at. It's right here. So here I am. We're only 15 or 20 minutes away from Temple. At most, I'm already halfway down there. It's not far in an airplane between here and Temple. And so we're only, I don't know, 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 feet high. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thought that computer says that Temple is IFR. I mean, it's down to like 300-foot ceilings. I mean, it's down to minimums. And I said, I just want you to clear it up. I'm going to start a descent right now. And when I land, before I get to Temple, it's going to be clear. And so I just set the autopilot on 200 foot a minute, started a descent, and I said, Father, thank you for a beautiful, clear runway. I'm flying a GPS, and I'm flying straight into Temple. And when I get about 6 or 7 or 8 miles out, I look up there in front of me, and it's just, there's a runway. I just called in and went right on in and landed. I pulled up there to the terminal, and I got out, and I said, you know, I said, beautiful day, isn't it? The guy said, 15 minutes ago, it was solid IFR here. I said, I know. I saw it on the computer. He said, I never seen it clear so fast. I said, I'll tell you why it cleared, son. He said, why? I said, I prayed. He just laughed. He just laughed. No, he does not know. And the average Christian said, well, I don't think I could do that. You're right. It won't work for you. You got to believe what you say will come to pass with no doubt in your heart or it don't work. Now, what you're doing, you're mentally listening to God's word. You're not spiritually locking it in your heart. Can God lie to you? If God can't lie and he makes you a statement, says you can do something, as long as you, I might say, mentally assent to it up here, it won't never work. It won't never work. It's got to be in here. You've got to believe what he said is real. And he's teaching us how to pray. But he says, your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. I mean, in heaven, do you think there's any sickness and disease in heaven?
No.
So what does he want it to be on earth?
No sickness.
No sickness and disease. Does he want us to live in a place of blessing?
Yes.
Does he want to meet all of our needs?
Yes.
Does he want to put clothes on your back, food on your table, some money in your bank? A car to drive? Does he want to provide all these things for you?
Yes.
Of course he does. You know, but somebody said, well, in fact, I'm going to just tell you, I've told some of you this story before. Here a while back, Cheryl, you know, she's always shopping on eBay, you know, and she's bought a lot of nice things for a very reasonable price there. But one of the best things that she bought, I thought, was when she got that full-length sheared mink coat. For $17.50. You know, I mean, you know, they ain't every woman can do that, is there? By the time she got it shipped here, it cost her $29.50. Well, it's a big, beautiful mink, full length. I mean, that thing goes almost to her feet, you know. And one day I go out there, and she and I's going somewhere. And, of course, I pull the 421 out of the hanger with a tug and pull it up there to the gas pump. I'm going to put some gas in it. And she comes out. And she gets out of the car and walks up there across the ramp with her beautiful fur on because it was cold. And she climbs up the stairs and gets up in the airplane. And I'm over there and I walk over and there's a guy with a little cub over here. I said, walk to him. I said, hey, son. I said, are you a Christian? He looks at me and said, well, yeah. I said, well, don't sound very sure of it. He said, I said, are you sure you know Jesus? Yeah. He said, are you a Christian? I said, absolutely. I said, I know Jesus. He said, I didn't think Christians could have a wife that could wear a coat like I saw that woman get in. And I didn't think Christians could own an airplane. He said, that airplane you got, that thing costs some money. I said, yeah, I did. But I said, God's a great big God.
Amen.
He said, I thought to be a Christian you had to be poor. I said, I guess that's why you're flying a cub, huh? I said, your prayers, you haven't learned how to pray yet. You haven't learned how to believe God. He said, I didn't know that you could have that and be a Christian. Isn't that sad? That there's people in the Christian world think you got to be poor to be a Christian. When the God we serve, what does he own on this earth?
Everything.
Everything belongs to him. And we're his children. I mean, and we have to receive what we get by faith, right? I think about, wow. As in heaven, so in earth.
Amen.
Now, I mean, I know, okay, you see, we got pretty slick concrete in here, but this is a long way from pure solid gold, isn't it? You know, long ways from pure solid gold. Well, Jack, in heaven, the streets are paved with gold, aren't they? I mean, you know, he ain't cheap up there. And he's got diamonds, you know, the rock that's in the concrete, I guess, there are diamonds and amethysts and pearls and rubies and all this kind of stuff. I mean, a little different between here and up there, right?
Yeah.
He told us to pray and ask that would be here.
Amen.
So as in heaven, so in earth. So let's go to the next verse. Verses 3 and 4. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now then, you say, but I don't think I need to ask God daily for my daily bread. Did he say ask?
Yes, he did.
I mean, so don't you think we ought to ask?
Yes.
You know what we do? You know what most of us do? The reason we run out of daily bread? Because we don't ask. And then when he gives it to us anyway, and we get it, and we don't say thank you, Lord. You know, so we sat down like a bunch of little pigs, you know, and we scarf up our food and all the stuff we do, and we never say thank you, Lord. You know, I mean, just like I told y'all the other day, I said, I did something nice for somebody 3 or 4 times, you know, and they never said thank you. So, okay, I can get over that. You know, it's not a big deal. But then when I did something for them and it kind of backfired and didn't go just exactly like they thought, they called and read me the riot act, you know, about how disappointed they were in me because I didn't get this done right. It'd be kind of like Bruce working on a car. You know, somebody brings their car in, he changes oil and filter and greases it for them and does it for them 8 times and they never even say thank you. Don't charge them nothing. And then one day he comes and changes oil and the filter and then he forgot to fill the washer deal up with washer. And they get out there and in the rain push a button and it don't squirt the windshield. And they call me and say, what kind of a mechanic are you? You didn't even fill up my washer. You know, that's kind of what happened to me that day whenever I said, okay, you see if I do anything nice for you again. No, I mean, I thought that, Tom. I thought it. And you know, when I thought it, you know what came to me? This is clear. Oh, that's kind of the way it is between you and me. I bathed you with a beautiful sunlight this morning, and you looked out there, and you didn't say thank you for that big, beautiful sky. I gave you all that beautiful air to breathe, and you're breathing so good, and you didn't say thank you for the air. I gave you your home to live in, and you didn't say thank you this morning. You might have told me before. Last night I gave you a beautiful bed to sleep in, but you just went to bed and slept. You never even said thank you. You went in and took a shower this morning and didn't even say, Lord, thank you for the hot water. Uh-oh. Eldon just got back from Ecuador, and he told me, he said, man, I got tired taking cold showers down there. It's easier to say thank you for the hot water after you had a bunch of cold, isn't it, Eldon? But you see where I'm coming from. We are the same way to God. And so after I just thought this bad thing, I thought, okay, Lord, I don't care what anybody does to me. I'm going to praise you and thank you. And I don't care if I have to do something nice for somebody 10,000 times and they never say thank you. I'm still going to keep on doing it. Because if I'm doing what he says, guess who's going to give me my reward? He is. That's right. I'd rather have his reward anyway, hadn't you, Tom? So praise the Lord. But he says, give us day by day our daily bread. So if you're not asking him to give you your daily bread and your provisions, you need to. And then when you ask him, don't forget to thank him for it. Because it's nice to have daily bread.
Amen.
But if you grumble and complain about it, you saw what happened. And then he says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now then, have you really done that? You know, too many Christians, they hold grudges. And if you hold grudges, that's going to cost you severely. Then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, I want the Lord to deliver me from evil, don't you? Well, I have learned I can pray that prayer, but I have learned how to be free from the evil one. Don't sin. Don't sin. Walk holy before him, and you'll be delivered from evil. Now then, there is a lot of people in the church today that has no idea why they're sick. And you know, it's easy to understand if I tell you, well, you're sick because you're sleeping with your mistress. Somebody said, good grief, Thurman, that's sin. I said, well, yeah. Well, and I went out last week and I murdered 3 people too, by the way, you know. I didn't like them, so I took my gun and I found them and I killed them. How many of you know that's sin? That's sin, right? I think most Christians know that, don't you? You know, but how about mentally assenting to the word? That's sin too, because people don't get healed. And you know, here's what I see so often. I'll have somebody come down here. Oh, Pastor, if you'll just pray for me, I know I'm going to get healed. Okay. So I think that's the kind of faith we're looking for. I mean, you know, we spent hours in a healing school or maybe two or three of them. So I reach up and lay hands on her and pray for them and say, it's done. Praise God. Well, good. I've got an appointment Tuesday. And we'll see what the doctor says. If he says I'm healed, well, then I know, praise God, I'm healed.
No.
You're, again, you're mentally assenting to the Word. You're not believing the Word. And so your prayers will not be answered. God doesn't do things like that. He is a faith God, and if you don't believe Him, it's not going to happen. Now, when I talk about mentally ascending and get your prayers answered like this, when the Lord says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, I go back every time and I think about that wonderful promise in Mark 11:24 that I used to get that precious little granddaughter that I flew to Memphis yesterday healed 6 years ago. I mean, 7 years ago, because, yeah, she's 10 now, so she is 3 then. And I've heard people say, I don't know what faith is. Well, let me explain how it works. There is this scripture. In fact, let's hold our place right there. Don't forget where we're in verse 4. And let's flip over to a prayer in Mark 11:24. Let's put Mark 11:24 on the screen. Look at what Jesus, now this is the King of the universe talking to you and me. Therefore I, Jesus, say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and maybe you'll get them. Oh, it's not what he said. What did he say you'd have? You shall have them. Well, now see, I read that over and over and over and over, and I prayed that over my granddaughter. I mean, whenever we took her home from the hospital, the doctor said, we put a plug in her stomach and give you a pump. You'll have to put liquid food through this hole in her stomach, got a little plug in it to keep it from running back out. So he said, you put that in there and you feed her 3 times a day. And said, don't feed her anything by mouth, because if you do, it'll run into her lungs, because the little valve in her throat that flips between the air and the food passage is not working. Okay, no problem. With a burst like that, what can I do? I can get that fixed, can't I? So I stand on that, I think. See, again, I'm mentally assenting to the Word. I pray the prayer of faith. I thank the Lord that it's done. And then we keep feeding her with a pump. For 2 months, I feed her with a pump, praising Him every day that the little valve's working. And we go back to the doctor in 2 months, and the doctor checked it, and guess what? Don't work. The valve don't work. Why did the valve not work? Was I believing?
No.
Was I mentally assenting to it? Did I have that scripture in my mental capacity up here? And I'm speaking it. It's got to work. God said it. But it didn't work. Well, we come back home and I think, Lord, there's a problem here. It says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I thought, okay, Lord, maybe I sinned somewhere. Maybe I did something that I don't know that's wrong. How many of you know you can do something you don't know is wrong? All of us can do that. So I thought, okay, Lord, I repent of every sin known and unknown. Anything I might have done, Lord, I repent. Now then, Lord, I'm standing on that promise again for my granddaughter, and I'm asking you to fix the valve in her throat so I can feed her normally. So I said, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you. It's done. Yeah. And we wait till 2 months. I still feed her every day, 3 times a day with that plug. Take it out, pump that stuff in, do everything. And I do that for 2 months. And then we go back down to that doctor's office, and I give her back to that doctor. And he checks her and come back. He said, well, it don't work. Now, there's something wrong when you got a promise like that and it don't work. And guess who's at fault? God?
No.
Oh, he can't never fail, can he? Guess who's missing the mark? Me. And so I come back home and I'm repenting again. Okay, God, if there's something I've done wrong, I repent, Lord. I don't know. Lord, I'm trying to walk as holy. I mean, if I ever tried to walk holy in my life, it was time during this time of my life. I mean, I try to walk holy all the time, but boy, now I am trying to be, I mean, I'm in the Word every day. I'm praising the Lord, worshiping Him, and I come back and I repent of every sin, and we do this again. And I feed her with that pump for 2 months, and we go back in. Now, this is a third time. This is 6 months. And he checks it, and it don't work. We go through this another time and another time. At the fifth time, 10 months, a doctor said, well, it ain't never going to work. I mean, what else is a doctor going to say? I've been back for 10 months 2 months at a time, five times that doctor's check. I prayed that prayer five times and it didn't work for me. Every time I was mentally assenting to it. I didn't believe it. So this time I come home, I told him, I said, Doc, I do not receive that curse. I don't know where I missed it. But the Word of God, the Scripture I'm standing on, he says, therefore I, Jesus, say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's a statement from God right out of the Word, which cannot lie, which cannot fail, but it's failed for me every time. How many people, let me ask you this, have you ever prayed a prayer that failed? Has anybody else out there besides me that's missed it? Sure, we all have, because we mentally assented to the Word of God. Well, I come home and I said, Lord, I know the problem's got to be with me. It can't be with you. I know you don't never make a mistake. I said, Lord, I got to have you show me what I'm doing wrong. I said, Lord, I know you don't hear the prayer of a sinner. I know if I had iniquity in my heart, but Lord, I ain't hiding no iniquity in my heart. I know I'm walking holy in obedience to your word. But there's something wrong when that scripture don't work for me and my granddaughter. So I read that scripture over and over and over, no telling how many hundreds of times in the next 2 weeks. I quoted it. I'm speaking it day in and day out. And finally, one day, it came to me. You're not believing me. I mean, I was almost offended. That'd almost be like if I told my wife, I'll come get you at 6 tonight. She said, no, you won't. What? You know if I tell you I'm going to be there at 6, I'm going to be there at 6. No, you ain't going to be there. Could that offend you? Well, sure. And I mean, I don't believe this. Sure, God, I believe this. I know I believe this. Maybe you've been there like that. Maybe you've done this just like I did. I was praying, but it wasn't working. So there's something wrong. And the problem's always with me. It cannot be with God. So anyway, after reading that verse and quoting that hundreds of times over the next 2 weeks, all of a sudden, it came to me. I wasn't believing God. I really wasn't believing Him. Because it says, therefore I, Jesus, say unto you, Thurman, what things soever you desire, and I desire the little valve working my granddaughter's throat. That was my desire. I wanted to be able to feed her normal. I didn't want to have to feed her with a pump in her stomach the rest of her life. He says, when you pray, when I pray, believe. Not 2 months later when I take her to the doctor and the doctor to tell me it worked. That's what I'd been doing for 10 months. I was mentally assenting that this was working for me, but it was only in my head. And God don't work like that. He works through your spirit. And your spirit man has to believe that. You have to really believe that's true. So, he says, when you pray, not 2 months later when you take her to the doctor, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Is that what he said, Jesse?
Yes, sir.
See? That's what he said. So I said, okay, Lord, I repent for my unbelief. Now, did I have unbelief? Oh, yeah, big time. Lord, I repent for my unbelief. Now, if unbelief is sin, or I'm mentally assenting to that verse, and it's sin, and God hates sin, what's He going to do when I try to stand on that verse? Nothing. That's right, Ann. He ain't going to do nothing. So, I repented. I prayed that prayer one more time. I read that verse one more time. I prayed. I said, Lord, I desire the valve working Caitlin's throat. I said, Lord, thank you. It works. That's how simple it was. It took me that long. I walked across the street or to the carport where she was living with her dad at the time. I said, Toby, I said, you got anything in here to feed Caitlin? And he said, well, yeah. I said, you got some, what do you got? He said, I got some applesauce and I got a little bottle of orange juice in here. I said, well, let's give it to her. He said, Thurman, you know what the doctor said? He said, that thing don't work. I said, 2 weeks ago we went to the doctor. It didn't work. I said, earlier this morning, it didn't work. But I said, I'm going to guarantee it works right now. How can you say that? I said, because the Word of God says it does. Is that what it said?
Yes.
So if I prayed that prayer for my granddaughter, and I believe, and there's no doubt in my heart, He says, believe that you received it and you might have it?
Shall. Praise the Lord.
You shall.
Thank you, Jesus.
He never says no, does He? And then let me, before we go on, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And I want to show you when somebody says, but Thurman, maybe it's not, maybe God ain't going to say yes this time for you.
No.
Maybe. Just maybe, God, his answer is going to be no. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 1, 20. For how many of the promises? For all the promises of God in Christ are what?
Yes.
And in Him, amen. Unto the glory by us. Praise God. Okay, so what? I'm mentally assenting for 10 months. Has that vow worked? It ain't worked a lick. I know all these verses. I said, Lord, I repent. It's done. I prayed a simple little prayer. Fix the vow in her throat. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Was that hard? Now then, what do we got to do? We got to believe it's done and feed her. And her daddy said, Thurman, you're crazy. You're crazy. I mean, if we give her that food, it runs down her windpipe. It's going to kill her. I said, Dobie, them doctors said the day I walked in down there that her brain, the pressure on her brain was 20. She was a goner. The doctor said the brain stem was disconnected. The doctor said the eyes were jerked out of the brain. There was no way that brain stem could be put back together. There was no way that eyes could be put back into that brain. There was no way all them bones around her eyes that were crushed and all that face that was tore all to pieces could ever be put back together. He said there's no way the lungs being crushed like there are blood running out her eyes, ears, nose, mouth, right knee crushed, left leg broken in two places. He said there's no way this little girl can live. And I said, sir, it's written in John 15:7. Let's go over there and see what that says, Dave. So the doctor tells you, does that sound like a pretty serious situation to be in? From the world standpoint, it's impossible. But look what Jesus said in John 15:7. Look at that first word, if. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. And sometimes it'll be done for you. What did he say? And it shall be done unto you. Now, who am I going to believe at this point? The doctor or this doctor? I'm going to believe the great physician. And I believed. And I confessed with no doubt in my heart, she's going to live. She's going to run and play. Even when I took her home from the hospital, as I cared, the doctor brought a wheelchair and said, take her. I said, no, I'm carrying her in my arms. I said, this little lady will never sit in a wheelchair. He said, that's okay. We're going to make her a motorized one because if she develops a few motor skills, which I don't know how, she might be able to drive this thing herself. I said, don't waste your money because she's never going to ride in a wheelchair. She's going to run and play on her own two legs. He said, sir, in this case, that's impossible. What's impossible with God?
Nothing.
See, I mean, when you get all this in your spirit, you think, Lord, if I abide in you, in other words, put your name there. If Thurman abides in Jesus and my words abide in you, Jesus, you, Thurman, shall ask what you will and it shall be done under Thurman.
Amen. That's right.
Personalize the word. Is that what he said?
Yes, what he said.
And so I stood on it with no doubt. And it didn't make a word. When they come in and say, I'm sorry. In fact, about 3 or 4 days into this, you know, one night I said, I'm going to run down and get me a sandwich and put some gas in the car where I won't have to do it, you know, in the wee hours of the night when I start home tonight. So I'm down having me I was down to the gas station. I was filling the car up and my cell phone rang. Thurman. Caitlin took a turn for the worse. You've got to get back up here. The doctors say she's dying. Now, what does most parents or grandparents do? Oh, man, they're, you know, excited. I said, no. I said, hey, she ain't going to die. But Thurman, the doctor said, I said, I don't care what that doctor said. I got the doctor. He told me what I could do, and I said, I'm believing him. I said, I'm going to go ahead and go get my, I'm filling up my car right now. I said, I'm going to go ahead and fill it up, and I'm going to go down and get me a sandwich, and then I'll be back out there in 30, 40 minutes or an hour or whatever. I said, when I get there, I guarantee she's going to be solid as a rock. There ain't going to be nothing wrong with her. So I just took my good easy time, went back out there, walked up there, and walked in. I said, well, how's she doing? She said, you know, right after I talked to you, she just got wonderfully stable. I said, isn't that amazing? Well, of course, that little girl is a little girl yesterday that jumped over in the back seat of that Mooney, and we flew her up there, and she jumped out of it and went to see her other grandma and grandfather. She's 10 years old today, and she runs like a little deer. You know, she's a beautiful little girl. And that face that was tore all to pieces? Hey, ain't a scar on that little face. Some of you in here have seen her. Some of you see her regularly. And there ain't a scar on that beautiful little face. But there ain't no scars on that face, and that little girl's alive and well because of that scripture right there. That's one of the many I used. I stood on it by faith. You know what happens to us? We come and pray. And, well, I've had this happen many times. We come and pray for somebody, and boy, they start feeling better, and they leave out here knowing they're healed. And then symptoms begin to come back. The enemy starts to put something on you, or a pain in your chest, or a shortness of breath, or whatever it is. And you say, oh my gosh, I thought I was healed. Hey, you just went to mental ascent, and you just lost your healing right there. You know what? Somebody says, but I'm having a heart attack. I said, that's right. That's exactly what you're having. That's what you're confessing. But if something knocks you out and a pain in your chest and you fall down on the floor and you say, devil, you might as well leave now. I ain't going to go there with you. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, and it's in my spirit. I'm healed. Now then I'm going to get up and go do what I couldn't do. And they said, well, you lay there. You must be having a heart attack. I said, no, the devil's trying to put me down, but I'm fixing to get up and go back to work. It's just like the day I fell through that steel hole and ripped 3 inches of skin off my left leg. All the skin on my shin as I fell through a hole 9 foot. I was working on something like this on the second story when I happened to pick up 2 sheets of sheetrock. And I took a step. When I did, it uncovered a 2x2 hole there. And I had forgot the hole was there. And so carrying 2 sheets of sheetrock and you step in a 2 foot hole, guess what happens? You go through just like I did right there. Only instead of having concrete 9 inches under me to stop me, it wasn't 9 feet below, and so as I did, my left leg folded behind me, and it ripped all the skin off the top of my left leg, 3 inches long, an inch wide, plumb to the bone. As I'm falling through, I'm screaming, Jesus! Now, can you think of a better name to scream when you're in trouble? Jesus! And, I mean, when I got my body, 175 pounds of me, fall down, and I hit right here on both arms, it's like, my arms did like a bird, like this. And when they did, would you believe that shot me completely back up through that hole and laid me on the top of that deck? And I reached up and caught both them sheets of sheetrock. They didn't even have time to fall on me. I mean, but any 65-year-old man ought to be able to do that, right? If you got angels, you can do that. If you don't, forget it. It ain't going to happen. You got to learn to think like Jesus. You got to learn to get away from this mental ascent and to step into this. Lord, may your kingdom come on this earth. And it's in me. May your will be done as it was in heaven on earth. Lord, I have this power within me. I can pray and ask for anything and you'll do it for me. And when you do that, it happens. And so that day, I mean, my nephew come running out and he took the sheets of sheetrock. I looked down, pulled my britches leg up and I saw all that blood running out. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going back to work. I just pulled the sock up over the blood and the bone and said, let's go to work. Somebody says, you're crazy. No. I'm just Jesus. He promises if I walk by faith, I can have anything. And so I just get up and went to work. I worked all day. You know, we sheetrock stuff. We was rebuilding a house over here on the other side of Justin. And after the day was over, I come home at night, took my shoe off. It had a lot of blood in it, you know. But I got in the shower and took a shower and washed all the blood off. And after I dried it off and everything, I got in the car and drove back down here to Burris's and found me some stickless bandages. And I wrapped it up with a stickless bandage, you know, and then taped it real tight at top and bottom. So if it bled anymore, and I commanded the blood to stop. And then after I said, Lord, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. I said, Lord, I want to ask you to... I said, I guess I done a dumb thing. I should have paid attention when I picked that up. I knew that hole was there, but I didn't look down. Was it God's fault I fell in that hole? No, it was mine. You know, but when I cried out to him, he's helped me. So whenever I looked at that, I said, okay, Lord, you said I could ask anything. So I'm asking you to fix my leg. I want the skin to grow back from side to side and top to bottom, and I don't want a scab to form, so I don't want a scar there. Now, what do you say I could ask for? I mean, do we not believe him? Do we? We're trying, aren't we? And I said, thank you, Lord. Well, a week later, you know, a week later, whenever I'm after church Sunday night, I come in and take my boots off, and I'm sitting there with a pair of shorts on, and I'm in my son-in-law walks in the house, and my left leg is red, swelled, my foot's big, my toes are black. He works in a hospital. He looked and he said, "Thurman, what did you do to your left leg?" I said, "Oh, I scratched it a little bit over there at the house the other day." He said, "Good grief, you got blood poison in that leg. Look at all the inflammation. Look at," and he said, "Look, the blood's not circling. Look in the bottom of the toes. They're black. You got blood poison. You're going to lose that leg." I said, "Toby, if you ain't got nothing good to say, just go home." You know how hard it is to walk? You know how hard it is to look at something like that on your body and then believe that's working for you? But you got to believe. Now, if you've prayed and asked, how many times did God say His answers are yes? Now, who's lying here? No, it's not Him, is it? It's not God. So when you're praying, you're getting a hold of this, and you don't go by what you see. We do not live by sight. We live by the Word, right? And when you believe the Word, what will the Word do? It'll bring anything you ask. I mean, that's just like that young girl up there that we met the other day when we were up there in Minnesota. She said, I said, "Any testimony?" She said, "Well, can I give one that happened 20 years ago?" I said, "If Jesus did it, honey, you can give it." You know, I said, "I don't care who." She said, "When our daughter was born, the doctors told us she has a bad heart. The doctor checked it 3 times and said she's going to have a valve replaced or a heart replaced or something." And they said, "Okay, no problem." And so the doctor went away. So we prayed. We stood on these promises. And then we said, "Lord, thank you. It's done." And then we said, "Ain't nothing wrong with our daughter's heart. It's perfect." But now the doctor just checked it 3 times and said it's bad. So another doctor come in. This guy goes on vacation. So a couple of days later, the other doctor come in and she said, "Well, we're ready to go home now." And the doctor said, "Well, I got to check this heart because it says your baby's heart's bad. If it is, you can't go home." So he checked it 3 times. He said, "I don't know. I don't understand this. There's not anything wrong with that little heart." She said, "Well, of course not. We prayed."
That's right.
Now you talk about a woman and man of faith. They didn't pray and say, "Oh, God, please, will you have, doctor, when the doctor checks it, will it be okay? Oh, please, God." He said, "No, I don't do business like that. That's not me. I don't work like that. I'm sorry. He don't work like that. He never has. He never will. And for the first 25 or 30 years of my life, trying to stand on the Word, I never saw God do nothing. But when I finally got to where I believe this stuff, I've seen Him do thousands of things now. So many now, I couldn't even begin to tell you." But she said, we went home. And said that 2 weeks later, when that other doctor gets back, he comes back and calls and says, "Will you bring that little girl back down here? I got to check her. She had a bad heart. I checked it 3 times. I said, "No, there's not anything wrong. There was when you checked her, but after you checked her, we prayed. And God fixed it." Somebody said, "Well, you must be a nut to believe that God still answers prayer." Well, I'm glad there's still a few of us in the world that do. Don't you? Because the average one of us don't. You know, because we have not been trained to believe what's written. I mean, you know, we go by what we see.
That's exactly right.
Oh, I wake up this morning. "Oh, man, honey, I got a pain in my back. Oh, gosh, I must be getting so old." And she said, "Oh, yeah, don't you know you're nearly 70 after all? What do you expect?" You know, people talk like that when they get old, you know. I mean, I got tickled with Cheryl the other day. She was talking about some woman down there. And she said, "You know, that woman's old. She's 60. Huh. She said, "What am I saying?" That woman ain't old. It makes all the difference in the world. But you know, you don't see yourself like that. You know, so, I mean, why do people get old? Just like my son the other day come to me and said, "Dad, I had 2 old men come in for training today." I said, What do you mean 2 old men? He said, "One of them's, I think, 62, another one's 64. I said, "Son, that's not old." He said, "Dad, these guys are old and they know they're old." Isn't that something? All they're doing is they can't get around. You know, they're too old. Now, let me tell you, I don't know if those 2 men are Christians or not, but if they are, they didn't spend much time with God. You know that? And when you spend a lot of time with God, He renews your youth like the eagles. So you don't have to get old. But If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So what kind of limitation did the king give us?
None.
So anyway, I mean, but when I look down my leg, there it is. I'll have to say, I'll agree. When I look down, it's swelled up. It looks really bad and it's really a deep dark red all around the top, you know, like blood poison set in. And of course, when I look down my toes, they're black. They really look awful, like there ain't no blood flowing down at all. Now, when you look down, what are you going to do? Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Somebody says, you're an idiot. That's okay. I don't care. I could care less what you think, because if you're going to say you're an idiot and you're not healed, I'm going to tell you, would you please leave my house? Because I do not want that kind of unbelief around me. And that's why I didn't tell nobody in church. In fact, one man asked me, when he saw me step down, he said, oh, well, did you do something to your leg? I said, oh, yeah, just a little bit. I said, it's okay, no problem. He said, what'd you do to it? I said, no, I scratched it a little. He said, scratch it a little? He said, let me see it. I said, no. Thurman, please, let me see your leg. I said, you promise not to tell nobody else if I show it to you? Okay, I promise. So I went in the other room, and we went in the bathroom, and I said, okay. And I raised my leg up, and I didn't even have a bandage on it. And he looked. He said, my Lord, that thing's tore all to pieces. I said, okay, that's why I didn't want you to see it. I said, don't you say nothing. If you want to pray for me, you pray in faith, not unbelief. He said, Thurman, that leg looks awful. I said, do we go by what we see, or do we go by what the Word says? Too many of us go by what we see and feel, you know, but you can't. Well, I mean, yeah. After I run Toby off that night, whenever he's my own son-in-law works in a hospital, said, Thurman, you're going to lose that leg. You got blood poison. That look, your toes are black. I don't want any more of that kind of confession around. So I just told him, Toby, you got to go home. You know, I do not want you in my house. Go away. And so I continued to worship and praise the Lord. Well, it took the Lord 3 months to completely heal that leg. I mean, I didn't do anything except keep it clean. And in 3 months' time, all the redness went away. The skin, I watched the skin every day slowly grow back from side to side, from top to bottom. And a scab never formed. And today, there's not a scar on the front of my leg. You can never tell where I lost 3 inches of skin. Now, the average person that loses 3 inches of skin, an inch wide, got to have a skin graft. And they're going to cut it off under your side here, under your arm or somewhere, and then you're going to have something to heal here and down there. I'd rather just, and they're going to charge you $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 to do that. I'd rather just let Jesus do it. He didn't leave no scars, and it didn't cost me a dime. You know, so. But with my granddaughter, it was impossible. The doctors told me, she cannot live. Well, let me tell you, they missed it. You know, they missed it. You know, even after I took her home and I was carrying her in my arms and I brought her home and took the Word of God over her until I could get her to walk, to stand up, to run and all those things. And then when I did take her back on December the 30th of 01, she's walking along. She's still totally blind. I hadn't got her eyesight back yet. And she's holding my finger. We're walking down the hall and Dr. Marks, head of neurology, come out. He saw her. He come running over there and picked her up. He said, she's walking. I said, she can only walk, Doc. She runs. He picked her up, took her in his office, set her down on a little chair table, and he's got his deals out, and he's listening, and he's tapping on her. I said, Dr. Marks, what do you think about my Jesus now? He said, all I got to say to you, sir, somebody a whole lot bigger than me put this little girl back together. I said, and his name's Jesus. I said, now you see she's still blind. He said, I see that. I said, but do you believe she'll see again? He said, after what I've seen, she'll see again. And she does. She does. We met and we prayed. Now, look at that promise. Now, of course, you realize, look there, what that said. If you abide in me. Now, see, that's another fallacy of the church. People come to me and say, oh, would you pray for me? How much time are you in the Word lately? Oh, I don't have time to study. What? You ain't got time for God? You got incurable cancer, and you watching. In fact, I went over with Mary. I'll never forget this woman. Her pastor asked me to come over there years ago, and he heard I had a healing ministry. So I didn't even have a church or nothing at that time. I was still working as an engineer, but I was teaching a healing school on second Saturday, and he heard about it, and he said, would you come down here and minister to Mary? I said, what's wrong with you? He said, you got cancer. I walked into her house with him and his associate pastor, three of us men, walked into her house, and she's got the television on over there, and she's watching soap operas. We sat down to the table, and they're talking all this bad stuff, profanity and everything else. I finally told her, I said, man, would you turn that thing off while we're trying? I said, I come here to get you healed. And I said, you got that television blaring. I said, I don't want it. I said, and what you on there, what you got on there? I said, do you watch that often? Oh, yeah, those are my favorite shows. I watch soap operas all afternoon long. And you want to know why you got cancer, woman? You want to know? And so she turned that off. And then in the next 30, 40 minutes of talking to her, she used two words of profanity. When she used the second one, I said, ma'am, here I am, a man of God, come to your home with your pastor and your associate pastor, and you've used two words of profanity out of your own mouth right here at your own table in the last 30 minutes. She said, I have not. He said, Mary, you have. I heard you myself. I said, ma'am, you're so spiritually dead from watching that trash. I said, you don't even know what. I said, what you put in you comes out your mouth. And I said, you're feeding that nasty junk in you. And I said, and you want to know why you got cancer? I said, you're going to have to start spending that time with God.
That's right.
So anyway, we prayed for her. She repented of her sins, supposedly. We left. I went out and got in the pastor's van, and him and the associate pastor got in the front. Before he started the car, he turned around and said, well, what do you think? I said, she'll be dead in 3 weeks. He said, what makes you say that? I said, she's not tuned in to spiritual things. That woman is so tuned in to the things of this world. I said, there ain't no way you can get them devils out of her in the next. She's just going to die. But it wasn't even 3 weeks. He called me one day. About 2 weeks later, he said, Thurman, Mary died today. He said, I thought about what you said. What's that say? If you abide in me. Now, if she'd had 4, 5, or 6 hours a day of the Word of God on, she'd have had a chance. But she was feeding that trash into her flesh. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. This is the way you pray. And when you pray, then you got to believe it's done. You know, and in fact, I know a man that had TB one time. And he was a pastor. And somebody taught him these things. And he got a hold of these things. And when they come and prayed for him, said, now, you have to believe the Word of God or it won't work for you. And so they prayed and he believed. He said, okay, you believe that it works. He said, you know, you showed me all these promises in God's Word, and you showed me where His answers are always yes and amen. So, yes. He said, well, then are you healed? He said, absolutely. He said, well, then sick people stay in bed. Well, people get up and go do something. He's got TB. He's going to die. He said, okay. Praise God. Word says I'm healed. I'm healed. He struggles and gets up. And before the pastor gets out of the house, every symptom of TB in his body is gone, and he's totally healed. The guy was about 18 or 19 when this happened. This guy lived to be nearly 90 years old. And he taught the Word of God with power. He's an awesome man of God. But how many times, I know another man, another pastor, same way. He come down with something, a doctor checked him and told him, said, it's all over. You got, whatever, a month or something like that to live. Okay. So he went and told his church. He said, it's all over. The doctor said, it's over. He said, I'm just going to take God's word. I got a little farm out here. I'm just going to go out there and I'm just going to sit down under a tree and I'm just going to study God's word until he takes me home. So he goes out there and he sits under that tree on the ground every day. And about 2 weeks into this, God took him to different places and showed him where, hey, I already healed you on the cross 2,000 years ago.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He's just like you was, Jack. He come in hurting and he said, hey, it's done. I ain't going to die. That doctor said I'm going to die. I'm going to live. I ain't going to have back trouble no more. Praise God. I was sinning. Now then, I'm believing God. And he said, you said it, Lord. It's done. He closed that book up, gets back, said, praise God, walks back to his church Sunday. He said, you know, I ain't quitting. I'm just ready to get started. And that guy, he lived, I don't know how many years he lived after that. See, the promises belong to you and me. But if you take the symptoms when you pray and you go by what you feel, but I'm so weak and I just can't get out of bed this morning, you're in serious trouble. The Word, yeah, you may have read it, but it's still up here. It's never made that little short trip.
That's right.
The woman I was married to 41 years, I tried to teach her these things. I tried everything to teach her these things. And she couldn't learn them. She just couldn't go there with me. Finally, you know, she come down with the flu one early spring. And I told her, I said, honey, you let me pray for it. Jesus healed you. No, she said, that's okay. I'll just use the medicine chest. So she's a great Christian. She loved God. Normal Christian, what I'd consider, you know. So she goes and she takes all her medication, and week after week after week, she don't get no better. I keep telling her, honey, let me pray for you. God will heal you. No, that's okay. I'll get it done. But she didn't get it done. Finally, one day she told me, she said, this is, I guess, 3 months, and she'd been sick for 3 months. She finally told me something. She said, you know, you've learned something I haven't. I said, what do you mean? She said, I have tried to make you sick. I have breathed in your face at night when you were asleep. She said, she kept telling me, you're going to catch this. I said, I am not going to catch it. She tried to make me sick and couldn't. Even when I was asleep, my faith overcome it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And at the end of 3 months, she said, okay, I repent. You've learned something I haven't learned. She said, Lord, I'm sorry. When my husband prays for me, I believe you will heal me. And I prayed for her that morning. I come home in the afternoon. She'd been sick 3 months. She is totally healed. Amen. Totally healed. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that if we don't believe, if we don't believe, we say we do. I mean, you know, now Cheryl, God, she got a hold of it. I mean, she got a hold of it big time. After that little episode of praying for herself and it didn't get healed and she repented, God, I'm sorry that I'm trying to do this myself and I need to come through my priest. And she repented and I prayed for her that night and he instantly healed her from that day forth. Man, she got a problem on the phone. I don't care if I'm out here working on top of a roof. She wakes up with the pain. Honey, you got to pray for me. Well, I will when I get. No, right now on the phone. Praise God. I'm going to get healed when you pray for me. And she gets healed. And I told the Lord after he'd done this so many times and spoiled her rotten. You know, she's really spoiled rotten and she loves it. You know, then one day I prayed for her for some little, had a little bump on her chest or something, you know, and I prayed. And the next day she got up and she walked in and looked in the mirror and she looked at that thing and she says, look at that. That thing's still there. She walked over to me, looked at me. She said, have you sinned? Isn't that something, Tom? God had been answering my prayer. I said, no, honey, he's just trying to teach you a little patience. Well, how many of you girls want patience? None of you. You don't want it. You don't want it. Yeah, you want it, but you want it right now. I know. Okay, I know. Okay. But this is the way the word works. Okay, let's go back to Luke 11, Dave, where we were there in Luke 11. He says, give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So these, okay, verse 5 and 6. And he said unto them, which of you who shall have a friend? Now he's showing you how this works. He's teaching you how to pray. This is a continuation. And he said unto them, after he told them how to pray, he said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, this was in the days before Walmart. You don't have a 24/7 grocery store down the street. When a friend comes, you didn't have 7-Elevens or whatever. You know, today a friend comes in at 2 o'clock in the morning. If you ain't got nothing in the cupboard, you can run down to the grocery store down here and get something for him, right? There's something open 24/7 today. But back in these days, it wasn't so. I mean, you know, those people used to go to bed at a decent time, you know, and they slept and they got up early in the morning at daylight and went to work, you know. But it says, you have nothing to set before him. Okay, so he tells us a story, what the deal is. And so he's coming to him at midnight, but his friends aren't going to help him. And he said within, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. In other words, we went to bed at 8 o'clock when it got dark, and we shut the door, and we're all in bed. The kids are all in bed, and I don't want somebody to come running in here waking up all my babies. Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. In other words, how many of you know that if you got your babies all down, it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or midnight, especially if it's midnight, and somebody comes storming in and wants something, and you wake up one of the babies and they start screaming, guess how many of the rest of them is going to wake up? The whole bunch. And back in those days, you know, they used to have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids. And so if you got a whole bunch of them crying, you got a problem. So he didn't want to let him in. He said, I say unto you, Jesus said, though he will not rise and give him because of he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or his demand, I ain't going away. I got a friend down there and he needs some bread. And I know you got some in there, so I am not going away. Is that what he's saying? He will rise and give as many as he needs. So he's trying to tell us a principle. So you come over. I come over to Terry's house and I knock on her door lightly. And I say, Terry, you in there? She said, yes, I'm in there. What do you want? Don't you know it's midnight, Thurman? I said, she said, be quiet. You wake up Frank. He's sleeping. And she might wake up all my boys. Shh. I said, Terry, I got to have 3 loaves of bread. For me to get 3 loaves of bread, I'd have to go to the refrigerator. I have to go to the kitchen. I have to turn the lights on. No, I ain't going to give it to you. I said, bang, bang, Terry, I ain't going away. Give me them 3 loaves of bread or I'm knocking the door down. Okay, I'll get them for you. This is what he's trying to say here. This is as persistent as we need to be with God. Because then he said, he gives us this example. He said, he will rise up and give you as many as he needs. So I'm knocking on Terry's door, and by this time Frank's up. What's going on? I said, Frank, I got a man come over here. And he's out of bread and he's got kids. I didn't have nothing in the refrigerator. I got to have something to feed him. He said, well, come on in this house. You already woke up everybody now. We'll just give you everything you want.
That's right. That's right.
That's the way it is. Okay. Then let's see what he says next. And I say unto you, now this is the Lord. And I say unto you, ask and it might be given unto you. What is wrong with us? I mean, are we not reading this book like it's written? And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Now, this is not me talking, is it? This is the King of the universe wrote this thing, right? Jesus. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For only a few.
Everyone. Everyone. Thank you, Lord.
That's even got your name on it, doesn't it, Terry? For everyone that asks, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I mean, those are shouting words. You know, but see, we got to get where we got to get this from? Here to here. So, if God said it, in other words, Jack, when you come in that day, you'd had a back problem for months. And I told you had to get rid of your sin. And you had a few of those to get rid of. And you got rid of your sin. We prayed the prayer of faith for you. And I told you, now, son, you got to believe this.
That's right.
And you said, well, I'm a Southern Baptist, but I can believe. Right. Now, I know how hard that is. I was a Southern Baptist, see. But, I mean, I beat that into him. He said, I believe. And I said, you got to have no doubt in your heart. He starts walking out that door saying, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. It's written. That's one good thing about a Baptist. They believe the word. Sometimes we don't quite know it's all in it. Right. But once we see it in there, if God said it, we believe it, don't we, Jack? So he said, it's done. I'm healed. Praise God. And before he got to the car, his back was completely healed months ago, and you ain't never had another problem with that back.
That's right. Don't run off.
Okay.
I believe this scripture like you believe it.
Okay.
But I have my Southern Baptist friends say, this is only narrowly talking about salvation. I think it's talking about salvation and everything else that you could ask for. But what do you say to them?
All I can say, if you take a preacher and he can say that, all I can say is go to the throne of grace and say, God, please be merciful to that son of yours and open his eyes to the truth of the Word of God. That's all I can say. In other words, oh, I say unto you, ask for salvation and it shall be given. Seek for your salvation and you shall find it. Knock and ask me to open a door unto your salvation and maybe you'll get it.
Well, the word salvation is sozo. It means saved, healed, delivered, made whole, preserved.
It does. The word salvation is soterio, which does mean all those same things. But that would be a good answer, wouldn't it? You could give him that answer. The word soterio and sozo both mean everything included.
That's exactly right.
Ask, seek, for everyone that asks. Now, isn't that amazing? That the Lord, but you know what the old devil will do? Tom asked for something, and he says, oh, but you know, Tom, you remember all them old sins you done, God ain't going to do nothing good for an old critter like you. You remember when you was 14 when you did this? You remember when you was 18 you did this? You hear how Tom laughed there? He knew, he still remembers what he did when he was 14 and 18. And I remember what I did when I was 14. Sharon remembers what she did when she was 18. But that person died, didn't he, Sharon?
Yep.
That one's gone. So if the old man died, Deborah, the new man ain't got no sin in his life now, right? Praise God. And that's where we that devil, we kick him out. We don't listen to that junk. We believe because Jesus said, everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Let's go to verses 11 and 12 and see what he says there. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? I mean, when my son comes in the afternoon after school, so hit the refrigerator. I didn't even ask what he was going to do. I knew what he was going to do. He's going to clean that thing out. Them boys can eat, can't they? If a son shall ask bread, oh, they'd only just ask bread. They want steak and everything else, did they? If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Look at the next verse. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much what?
More
shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. What's involved in the Holy Spirit? Salvation, healing, deliverance, everything. Everything is done by the Spirit of God. So if you ask in faith and you want to get healed, all you got to do is say, Lord, you know what the biggest sin is in the church today? Unbelief. The biggest sin is unbelief of these promises. Now, you may have a lot of other sins in your life. Let me tell you, in the church world today, that we're very familiar with the church world today. The church world is very grossly involved in watching television. And there ain't nothing hardly fit to watch on secular television today. I mean, you know, if you're filling your mind and your heart with the trash that's on secular television, you need to repent of all that and tell God, I'm sorry, and I'll turn that thing off. Because there ain't hardly nothing fit to watch. And if you're not in His Word, if you're not reading and studying His Word, forget it. You know, I mean, you're going to have to. And right now, what are we doing right now? We're in the Word. Is that what we're doing this afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
For the last hour? Deborah, you got a statement?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Let me get a mic and you can make this statement. Let's turn that on. Okay. I think it's on.
He mentioned a minute ago the Blue Blind Bible. I went there yesterday for the first time because you've been mentioning it.
The Blue Letter Bible?
Yeah. Blue Letter, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, once I got into that, it was like 2 or 3 hours later, and it seemed like only 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was so fascinating to be able to put a word in and see everything come up. And I was trying to find all the scriptures that I needed to have taken notes on before. And you can actually, when you find it, you can highlight it. You can drop it over in a Word document because, fortunately, one of my family members I talked to was showing signs of being open. So I spent like 2 or 3 hours going through this thing, pulling out every kind of supportive word for that situation. And, I mean, it was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And I had been having a lot of trouble getting in the Word, sitting down, and just reading it. But when you can get there in this Bible and put that up and see everything come up, bam, just like that, let me tell you, it gets you hooked.
Another thing, too, that you might not have found yet, but in that same Bible, the Blue Letter Bible, let's say you say, well, I love the King James, or I like the New American Standard, or I like the NLT, or I like the NIV. You pull up the one you want, the translation you want, and you say, well, I really am busy on my computer today. You just say, listen in MP3, and you click on it and minimize it, and it'll play from right there to throughout the entire Bible all day long. You don't ever have to do nothing. It'll play it over your speakers for you, and you can listen to it. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
The Word of God's right there. You can listen to, but there's 4 million links and 165,000 commentaries attached to the Blue Letter Bible.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing what you can find?
Oh,
everything. It's got it all. It's all in there. You can find any, and it's free. You don't need any Bible software. It's right there on a computer. And, we put it on there so you can get it through our website. But you don't have to go to our website. You can just type in www.theblueletterbible.com or .org, whatever it is. I don't ever go that way. I just go into our website, and I always use it from our website. So when you go to links on the front page and go to the, of course, there's a whole bunch of them. The Amplified's in there. We got everything in there. And in fact, but the center one is the Blue Letter Bible. You click on that thing, and it's endless. You would never, ever get it. But let's look at this. If you then, in verse 13, Luke 11, 13, if you then being evil, Jesus is trying to tell us we're evil.
That's right.
He looks at us as evil. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, think, any one of you men in here today, a Christian man, your son or your daughter comes to you and says, Dad, I need this or I need that. If they're an obedient child, what in the world? And some of them, disobedient children. You still give them, right? You still help them, knowing that they're meaner than the devil himself. But you still help them. Is that right? Some of you will give your children's thing, bail them out of jail, do all kinds of things, knowing they're absolute mean and they ain't done nothing fit to do nothing for you. They've done all kinds of bad things to you, and they come begging, and you help them one more time. Is that just a parent?
Yeah,
that's just a parent. Now, God says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give this magnificent Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So when you ask, what do you have to do? Let's go to James 1, 6 and 7, and we'll close on this afternoon. James 1, 6 or 7. Let's see this scripture. But let him ask in what?
Wavering.
How much wavering?
None.
We can't, But Jack, I'm gonna pray for your back and tomorrow. Why don't you go to the doctor tomorrow and see if it's okay? Guess what he's gonna do for you and me? Nothing. I didn't pray in faith. If you're gonna go to the doctor tomorrow and see if it's gonna get well, it ain't gonna happen. Because look what he said. Now this is the Word of God. I didn't put this book together, did I, Terry? But let him put your name right there, him or her. But let you ask in faith. Nothing wavering. You cannot waver around these promises. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he's going to receive anything of the Lord. Now what if that couple up there in Minneapolis or Minnesota the other day that gave their testimony, what if when the doctor came and said, I'm sorry, your daughter has a deformed heart and you're going to have surgery. Oh my goodness gracious. Oh, but we're Christians. Oh, God, please, would you find mercy on us and heal our daughter? Now, what do you think is going to happen when you check her heart again? Oh, I don't know what's going to happen, but oh, I'm so nervous. I just can't. Oh, Lord, please, if it be your will you heal her little heart? And they come in, doctor says, I'm sorry, it's worse. But I thought we prayed. But you didn't pray in faith. You didn't believe nothing. So you were mentally assenting to the truth, right? Now, there's anybody today that comes up here for prayer. When you come up here for prayer, you repent for your sins of unbelief. And we stand on these promises for you. And when you walk out of here, you know, because God made you the promise, I'm healed. And I ain't going to go by what I feel. I ain't going to go by what I see. I'm going to go by the promises of God. And that's the way I stood on them for Caitlin that day. That's the way I stood on them for Jack. That's the way I've stood on him for Sharon and Cheryl. All of you that I've ever prayed for in my life, I've stood like that. And when I do, and when you stand with me, guess what happens? You get to keep your healing.
Amen.
You ain't going to go out saying, even though you got some Baptist preachers that don't believe what you've learned, Jack, but you ain't going to go in agreement with them, are you?
No,
you're going to believe it's written, because when you believe it's written, you got healed.
Amen.
And what if one day you wake up and got a little back pain in your back? Hey, oh, you ain't going here no more, Buster. You're out of here today with Jesus. Praise God. It's a whole lot better to be well than it is to be sick, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I think about that, I think about that lovely lady Rosemary back there. I know some of y'all heard this, but this is such a great testimony. I love telling this. That day, that grandmother called and got Rosemary and said, I need prayer. My grandson has just stuck a pocket knife in his eye, and we took him to the doctor, and his eyes ruined. Took him to a specialist. Specialist said the eyes ruined. Tomorrow they're going to have to do surgery and take the eye out and put a glass eye in. I want you to pray that the surgery will go well. But see, that's where her faith was. She had not been taught these principles like Rosemary has. Rosemary said, no, I will not pray a prayer like that. She said, my God's bigger than that.
Amen.
He can fix that eye. He made me the promise. He said, now, Lord, she come to the throne of grace bold as a lion. Father, you said in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm walking in obedience to your word. I'm doing everything you say. And by faith, I'm stepping into your kingdom. And I'm asking you to make that little eye perfect. And when they undo it tomorrow, let that little boy see perfect. And let there not even be a scratch on the lens. And thank you, Lord, it's done in Jesus' name. Now, see, now that's a real woman right there. That's a woman that believes the word of God. Well, the next day, that grandmother called back and she said, we took that boy to the doctor today and they undone the eye to do the surgery. And when they took the bandage off, the little boy said, I can see, Mama.
Praise the Lord.
And the doctor, the specialist who was going to do the surgery, got down there and looked in that and he says, I don't believe this. There's not even a scratch on the lens. It's perfect.
Amen.
What Rosemary asked for? Don't even want a scratch on the lens. And what? Who? When we pray in faith, who shows up? The King of the universe, the Lord of lords and the God of gods. He's a mighty God. But now he don't understand this unbelief stuff. Oh, but Thurman, you don't know how bad I'm hurting. Hey, I've been there and done it. I know how bad you're hurting. I've been there every way, every form, every way you can believe. But when I believed, it's done. Just think. I'll tell you that day that spider bit me on the arm right there. And by that afternoon, my arm was this big. A brown recluse spider. Well, the next day, my arm was that big from here to here. Of course, when I woke up that morning and saw this big old puffy arm, I didn't have nothing on it. It's just a naked arm. And I looked over and I heard this little voice. Had to be God. You fool. You've went too long. Now you've lost your arm. That was God, all right, wasn't it? The little G. The God of this world, right? You fool. You've gone too long. You're going to lose your arm. See, he's trying to put unbelief in me, isn't he? I said, no, devil. Jesus is my healer. And he promised. Well, the next day, my arm was hard and stiff. Couldn't hardly even bend it. That's when I said, okay, I've had enough of this. So I asked one of the guys, I said, you cut a hole in my arm right where that bee stung me, bit me, and you start squeezing that blood and pus out of there. We finally squeezed that thing. We got a yellow center out of that thing, a quarter inch by a half inch long. Well, I got a hold of that thing with my fingernails. Somebody said, don't do this. You get blood poison. Don't confess that around me.
That's right.
I reached in there and pulled that thing and threw that thing out. I said, you devil, you're out of here. In the name of Jesus, now I'm healed.
Amen.
And I woke up the next day. My arm was a whole lot better. And by Thursday, it happened on Thursday. And the next Thursday, it was totally, completely healed.
Amen.
I never had one doubt. Now, if you got doubt with a brown recluse spider bite you, you're going to have skin grafts, and you're going to be lucky if you don't use that arm. You know that? If you get to the doctor quick, why is the average person know that a brown recluse spider bites them, you got to get to a doctor within hours? The quicker, the better. If you don't, I have a picture over there in my office about a person that got bit by one on his thumb. And he didn't go to the doctor, and he didn't know how to walk by faith. And by 4 days, the thumb was rotted off, plumb back to here. Rotten. The skin was all dead, the bone showing. That's what happens to you when a brown recluse bites you, if you don't know the healer. If you know the healer, he said, no deadly poison shall hurt you, didn't he? Who are we going to believe? Church? Are we going to believe God?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have something to say?
I have a testimony.
Okay.
Hand
this back to her.
The scripture, ask, seek, and knock, and on the scripture that when you ask, seek and knock, that the Lord will give it to you. And so in 91, my neck finally broke down after overuse when I was a house cleaning on my fifth year, and all kinds of accidents and all this stuff before. And so I had like a 5-pound weight limit. I couldn't do anything. Walking, merely walking, just put me to bed. So I just kind of worked and went to bed for about 10 years. And I went up and down over with unbelief and not belief. I went to church every time, 3 times a week. And I went up for prayer every time, and pretty soon my pastors wouldn't even come over and pray for me. But I said, I'm going to keep praying until I die or the Lord heals me, because it says. And it was on this one I stood. And so I wavered and went through all this stuff for 10 years and kept asking God for more faith. But what I would have is these occurrences that I would be very sick from. And every time I overdid something, then the next 2 days later, I would have this circumstance. And so it was absolutely the worst one. It took 10 years before I got healed. And so it was on the 10th year that I was having my, my worst. Through the tears, I was just sobbing. I just wanted to get a shotgun to take my head off. And bad confession, I know now. And I just said, Lord, I stand here in the midst of these tears. I'm waiting on you to heal me and just give me more faith, because maybe I need more faith. And right then, boom, the whole thing went away in 5 minutes. I knew I was completely healed.
Amen.
And I was going to take a trip out to Montana 2 days later. I wouldn't even thought of getting on a horse, not even looking at a horse, And I said, I am completely healed. I'll do everything that I used to do before, which is what I've done since. And that was in 01.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. Even though I was a dummy and just figuring it out myself, I did. I just hung with the Lord, because even when pastors were dropping off on me, I knew he would heal.
Well, unfortunately, so many pastors out there, I hate to say it, but they don't have a lot of faith either.
Right.
I didn't have it either for a lot of years. But now then, praise God, I'm getting a hold of it. And why am I getting a hold of it? Because it is written.
Amen.
Is it written?
Amen.
The promises we quoted you today, it's written.
Amen.
I got tickled at Casey the other day. He said, there's only two pastors I listen to. That's me and one other one. And I said, why do y'all listen to us? He said, because you the two are the only two men I know that preach faith. That's all that comes out of your mouth. Faith. He said, I need faith. And so he said, I'll listen to you guys. He don't want to listen to somebody that's preaching normal stuff. I mean, here's the thing. If nobody's getting saved under your ministry, nobody's getting healed, nobody's getting delivered, I ain't interested in anything you got. But if people are getting saved, healed, and delivered, hey, I can learn from you. Because I want to get people saved, healed, and delivered. Isn't that where we want to go? Praise the King. All right, if all the media back here, we got a bunch of it. We got it all laid out. There's a cassette back. Anything y'all want, as you know, most of you that have been here before, all the media is free. You take as much as you want, give it to who you want to. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, the box over there as you walk out. But other than that, I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and then we're going to pray for y'all. Some of you need to be prayed for. And when you do, make sure when you come up here, you've repented of your sins. Make sure you make God a promise. I'll get in your word. I'll spend time with you. And then when Thurman prays for me, or Thurman and Cheryl prays for me, I'm going to be healed. And it's going to hold, because I'm not going to doubt it ever again in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. These are all your promises, and we're standing on them. And, Lord, we're going to expect all the people that come today for prayer to receive what rightfully belongs to them, because we are children of God, and these promises belong to us. Healing is ours. By faith, it belongs to us. And we're going to walk free of these devils and this pain. We're going to walk in it. Just like Tony said, 10 years before she finally got a hold of it. But she finally got a hold of it. And she stood. And then she went and done things. She went and rode a horse. She did all kinds of things she could never do before. But Lord, that's faith. Stepping out to do things we could never do before. So Lord, we praise you and thank you for your word, which shows us how to do it. And we give you all the praise and glory, because, Lord, you're worthy to be praised. We praise you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, and bless us all this week as we go forth. Lord, bring us back to Tuesday night Bible study at 7 to 9, and bring us back to Sunday service on 2 to 4. And, Lord, on the healing school on the second Saturday of the month, bring us back to that. And, Lord, bless us in everything we do, and use us this week to bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.